Now, scholars are only now piecing together the origins of the Hittites. Now, as early as the end of the 3rd millennium BC, it's clear that central Anatolia was occupied by a variety of people who spoke a variety of languages. They spoke a language that we can identify as Hattian, and these Hattians were probably indigenous. Then there were the people that spoke Nessite, the language I just mentioned, an Indo-European language. And there was another language called Luvian, which was related to Nessite. Now, these languages are Indo-European, and it's thought that the speakers of these languages entered Anatolia either from Europe to the west or from the steppes of Russia to the north, sometime around 3000 BC, although the precise date of their arrival really can't be determined. It's even been suggested that their entrance into Anatolia might be reflected in the destruction layers seen at Troy II, which again took place about 2200 BC. Now, when scholars talk about the history of the Hittites, they usually divide it into two periods: the Old Kingdom of the Hittites, from about 1650 to 1400 BC, and the New Kingdom, from about 1400 to 1200 BC. Now, the Old Kingdom of the Hittites began with a man called Hattusili, who, around 1650 BC, united members of these various ethnic groups, the Hatti, the Luvians, the Nessites, to form a kingdom. Now, he chose a capital city at the place that I just talked about, Hattusha. There was already a small settlement there that Hattusili aggrandized, fortifying it with walls and building a palace. Now, it's really interesting because Hattusili, the name, means man of Hattusha, which argues that perhaps he had a different name before he built up his new capital city. If he did have a different name, we don't know what it is. But Hattusili becomes a common name among the rulers of the city of Hattusha and the kingdom of the Hittites. Now, the location of Hattusha is very, very favorable. It is rather remote in the center of Anatolia, up in the highlands, but there was available water, very abundant water, very arable land, lots of forests, and a rocky outcropping was ideal for a defensible acropolis. So starting about 1650 BC, Hattusha becomes an important capital city. Now, our knowledge of the Old Kingdom of the Hittites is still rather vague. And we do have written records, but that and the archaeology still leave some rather gaping holes in our understanding of this period. One thing that's clear is that there seemed to be a constant problem with the royal succession. Evidently, there were no formal rules that the eldest son should succeed his father, as would be the normal system in many societies. This led to various palace intrigues, and we hear quite a bit about that during the Old Kingdom. Hattusili's own sons evidently revolted against him, and that prompted him to name his grandson, Mershili, to be his heir. Now, Mershili is probably the most important figure of this era, because he did something quite remarkable when he became king. He mounted a lightning raid on the city of Babylon in 1595 BC. Now, Babylon is about 800 miles away. It's close to Baghdad today, so in Iraq. And you have to imagine, at best, an army could move maybe 15 miles a day. So his lightning raid would have taken a month and a half to pursue. This was a very successful attack. They didn't maintain control over the area, but they sacked the city and brought back lots and lots of booty. And so by this time, the Old Kingdom of the Hittites controlled most of eastern Anatolia, with its forces stretching as far as into Iraq. Now, although this attack was successful, Mershili himself was murdered by a relative, Again, there's constant interfighting amongst family members. And when Mershili was killed upon his return to Hattusha from Babylon, the old kingdom was flung into centuries of turmoil and weakness, which is one reason why we just don't understand this period very well. It's kind of a chaotic time for the Hittites.